Hey out there, pod fans, and welcome to Caffeination 028. Yes, that's Big Caffeination 28. Alright, Big Caffeination 28. We'd like to welcome everybody to the podcast. Hope everybody's enjoying themselves as they sit here. The first thing is, if you're listening to this podcast over on the stream from techpodcast.com, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We accept all listener feedback, so if you like what you hear today on the show, you can send an email over to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can send us a listener comment on our voice line at 206-202-2338. All right, well, now that we got that out of the way, I can tell you what's up for today's show. It's going to be a great show today. Might be a little bit huffing and puffing in the background. Sorry about all that. It's the first time I've actually done any kind of physical exertion in a little while. Actually went out and played some softball today, so just right before I sat down to do the show. So, yeah, tomorrow's not going to be a good day. I can already feel it. And I found out why my back's hurting every time I play softball, too. Apparently when I swing, I hit myself in the back with the bat. So, yeah, all right, slugger, why don't you calm down? Didn't have too bad of a day, you know. 6-for-7 hitting, 5 singles and 1 double, so doing alright, still not major league numbers because kind of sucked it up in the field, but hey, it's just a game. Old guys with beer guts, right? Young guy with a beer gut right here. Alright, well, we have a great show lined up for you today. We have a lot of tech tidbits. It's a topic I'm pretty passionate about. We're going to talk a lot about gaming today, a lot about video games, both old and new. We're going to run the gamut, so to speak. Actually, I think we might even end up having this go into next show, which should be on Sunday night. We have one little announcement from the Tech Podcasting Network. Speaking of which, the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Then we have two little caffeinated bits for you. Well, actually, maybe 2.5. And we have some great PodSafe music lined up for you. Pretty proud of last show. Actually, it sounded pretty good. We got that all out in one take, believe it or not. I only had to go back and edit a couple little mistakes out. You know, long pauses for no apparent reason. Like that one right there. No reason at all. That was just there, just to see if you were listening. Alright, so, like I said, we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff lined up for you today. And to start things off right, we're going to actually go to the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. I gotta tell you, I liked the Golden God song last time so much that, that was Stone Fox, by the way. I liked that so much that I actually went back to the well, so to speak, and we found another song that I think you're going to like just as much. So, yeah, bear with me as we try and fire this one up here. All right, there we go. All right, here's the Golden Gods with Dynamite Lady from the PodSafe Music Network. We'll be right back. Again, that was the Golden Gods with their song Dynamite Lady. So, I'm a pretty big fan of that song. Hopefully there's no line noise in that one, because after I went back to the well last time and listened to the episode, it turns out over in the first song, the adapter started acting up, and I didn't hear it, couldn't see it in a little stereogram that's flashing across the screen here, so I apologize for that. Poor quality of audio is definitely not something we'd like to put out here at the Caffeination, but again, it's nothing we can do about it now. I mean, I'm not going to go re-record the whole show just because you heard a little line noise in the middle of it. We're definitely going to be getting a new adapter just because this one is irritating the ever-living hell out of me. I don't know how to say it, you know, any other way. It's like every time I plug the thing in, I don't even move this mixer, and that little adapter is just causing me all my problems. I know it. I mean, I've tried to switch it out, but it's kind of a volume limiter or something. It's pretty freaky. But we're definitely going to go a different route, so you might hear a couple little changes in the podcast the next time or the time after that, depending on whenever I can get one of those adapters around. I really like that band, I gotta tell you. I mean, the Golden Gods. Yeah, they had definitely, I couldn't place it the first time, but if you've ever seen the movie Heavy Metal, you know, the animated movie from the middle of the 80s, they had that kind of sound to it. I mean, I have the soundtrack to Heavy Metal, and it's really not that good of a soundtrack. I mean, they have some really good songs on there, but overall, the quality's kind of poor when you consider the music they use to kind of pimp the movie out there, but they definitely have that sound. So I heard their CD just dropped on the 25th of April, so I'm gonna have to find out exactly where I can get it, because that's definitely something I would invest in. I like their kind of music, so you can find them over at the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. As far as I know, you can't buy any of their tracks there, but you can listen to them all, and I know they have a MySpace group on their MySpace page, one of their MySpace music things. So, the podcast gets interrupted today, I apologize, but my two cats have decided to fight on the bed next to the computer stand here. So, if you hear an abrupt stop and start, it's because I was included in their little fracas. So, we're gonna try and stop that from happening in general. But all right, on to the news, so to speak. Alright, well, up with the tech tidbit section here at the Caffeination. Well, if you remember on our last podcast, we were talking a little bit about the Nintendo Wii. Yeah, I'm not actually going to put the name in the show notes because it's getting far too many page hits as it is, so I'm just putting it the Nintendo what. Well, there's a couple different branding websites out there that are trying to say, this is a fabulous idea, you know, they're getting all this publicity from it, and, you know, it's something I said last time, but when you really think about it, they're getting all of this free publicity, but most of it's negative. Well, I can't find the guy's article, but one guy actually said he did a search in all the different countries and said, is this a registered trademark? When did they register it? How did this get by us? Was it under a dummy company? No, not you. There we go. Was it under a dummy company? How did we miss this? Apparently, the trademark WII is not registered anywhere, not in the United States, nowhere, so it's not a registered trademark. Now, it would be really odd for a company of Nintendo's size and business savvy to not register one of their trademarks. So what this guy is postulating is that the Nintendo Wii is not actually the real name of the console, it's just a publicity gimmick. All this does seem feasible, but what he says they might do is have that out there long enough, and then at E3, the big gaming convention, you know, the electronic, what the hell does it stand for? I can't remember off the top of my head, but E3 is when they debut all the new technology and everything for games, and it's when Microsoft's going to come out with a preview of Halo 3, ecstatic about that. That's when PlayStation 3 is going to, you know, debut a whole bunch of stuff, so it's going to be a huge show, but they're saying that since the Nintendo Wii is generating so much publicity, they're going to get plenty of good publicity if they change it because of the supposed outcry. Basically, what he's saying is they picked a stupid name because they know they get a reaction out of all of us. So I'm not going to speak about it again until this guy's proved right or wrong, but definitely, definitely. Interesting little topic they got going on. Pardon me, one. There we go. Hope you didn't hear that. I had to adjust the mic a little bit. I'm up a little high today. All right, now I promised you a review of the Xbox 360 thus far. All right, now some of you may have remembered what I got the Xbox 360 for my birthday a couple weeks ago. Now it's about 3 weeks ago that I got the machine. So far, not had any issues. Only have one artifact on the screen. It's kind of like a jagged line going through it, and that was when it wouldn't read the disc once, but it was an old disc, so, you know, I understand. The only thing that I'm pretty irritated about is I know they're probably just waiting for E3 and they're all focused on that, but haven't been any updates since March to the list of games that you can play backwards compatibility-wise. And I have around 23 titles for Xbox. I mean, not a lot, but it's... I don't own a game unless I enjoy playing it. If I don't enjoy playing it, I don't keep the game. So to only be able to play basically a third of that library was really getting to me. That, and there were supposedly a whole bunch of different features that were in games that were built specifecally for the Xbox 360. Well, I went out with some of my birthday money and actually bought two of those games. And I've only been playing one, that's how good it is. Burnout Revenge. It's a basic driving sim, but it's awesome. I mean, it has like a... uses the high-definition video in the console to the utmost. I know it's available on a whole bunch of different consoles, but so far, I've seen it on PlayStation 2, seen it on Xbox, I think it was on Xbox, I saw it on a demo in one of the stores, and I think it might even be available for the PC. I'm going to have to look it over, but I love this game. It is awesome. I mean, basically you run through the streets of various cities who don't have names, and your cars don't have real names or anything. They're kind of like the modified R185X, which basically means it's the series of cars that can go 185 miles an hour. Interesting little idea for how they're going to do it, but hey, you know, it's a pretty good thing. Well, I love this system. I mean, you can add your own soundtracks in there, like they talked before, and the Xbox Live Marketplace is actually pretty cool as well. I downloaded a game there, which is kind of like a side-scroller, but it's only one screen. So think original Mario Brothers, you know, where you had to run around that little level thing and, you know, bop the Goombas or what was it, the Koopas from underneath, and then you knock them into other people and collect the coins and everything. Well, this has coins in it. It's called Wick. Basically, you're this little frog-like creature who can only do two things. He can jump and stick his tongue out. Oh, and he can also, like, suck. He's supposed to collect these little grubs and feed it to this funky-looking ox who's purple at the bottom of the screen. Interesting story with the whole thing, but I just love the controls. I mean, it's one of those addictive games that, you know, it's definitely going to be around for a little while, and I hope they come out with a couple other different versions of it. So, overall, so far, the Xbox 360 is fabulous, and I like the Xbox Live experience a lot more, because you can kind of move where you want to be. Like, if you're a real hardcore gamer and you don't care if somebody's cursing you out in the back end, you can go to the underground level, supposedly. If you're not so much of a hardcore gamer, you just kind of want to do it for fun, then you go to the recreational area. Started out in the pro area and kind of moved into the recreational. You know, the pro area is listed as play hard but clean. But kind of had to move into the recreational area because I had people a little bit less hardcore, kind of insulting. I mean, I'm fine trash talking people in games, but they were just getting out of hand. It was like playing it with a bunch of 4-year-olds, so it wasn't really enjoyable. But one of the big things that I've noticed about this game is it has, back to Burnout Revenge, but it has like a lot of addictive tendencies to it. I mean, because the graphics are so good and the controls are so kind of intuitive that my wife actually picked up the controller one day. I've been bugging her for a couple days. I'm like, oh, come on, we spent so much money on this thing. You know, you want to try it? And yeah, apparently she did. We've played 2 or 3 nights now, and she's getting pretty good now. She's taken me out a couple times, so that's pretty fun. But it adds a whole new level to the experience when you can actually play with somebody else in the same room. So the wireless controllers are definitely a big plus. I mean, our TV is probably about 15 feet away from the couch, so it's great to, you know, just sit back. We have a nice, decent-sized TV, so it's just a fabulous experience. I might actually have to break some of this news up into a couple different podcasts, because I think we're already running long. Yeah, 16 minutes. Holy. All right. Well, enough with the Xbox 360. It just gotta say, it was a good purchase. I mean, might have been a little expensive right now, but it was definitely a fun, it's definitely going to be a fun experience being able to experience some of the games that are coming out. Only thing I'm not really a fan of is the price point for the games. $60 is a bit steep. I mean, I used to be able to go out and, you know, rationalize buying two games. Now I'm spending, if you buy two games, it's $120. I mean, as soon as you break the $100 barrier, you know, your wallet starts to go, you kidding me here? I mean, I haven't even seen the used ones yet, but then again, it's not too old, so I don't know what the price points are going to be for the used ones. I kind of like the $20 for the Blockbuster rental ones, and I haven't even seen Xbox 360 stuff in Blockbuster yet, other than to rent the console. So, yeah. Now, from newest to old here, we're going to talk a little bit about the lost treasures of gaming. Now, these are stuff that have been around since, I'm going to say, the early 80s, most of it, and I was always my heritage with computers when I was very young started with the Commodore 64 that my parents bought. My dad was learning basic programming on it, and there were a couple little cartridge games that you could slip into the back that were, you know, fascinating. We had the little 5 1/4 disc drive next to it, and throw cool stuff in there, and you could listen to all that, they had music programs, and he had a flight simulator that I wasn't allowed to touch, but it's just a fun little system. And one of the games that keeps coming back to my mind is, it's called Zork. Now, I know a lot of people have played this. It was on the 2E, Apple 2E, it was on the Atari, it was on Commodore, PC, whole nine yards. It was a crazy game. Basically, this is the original text adventure. So you start up the screen, and you're sitting there, and you're greeted with, west of house, you are standing in an open field west of a white house with a boarded front door. There's a small mailbox here. And it has such lines as, it is dark, you are likely to be eaten by a Gru. Now, I don't know, there's something about the mythology surrounding Zork, which, you know, just sparks a whole bunch of nostalgia in me. And, you know, I just love some of the older games because since they didn't have very much graphically to work with necessarily, the storytelling had to be a lot more involved. And, I mean, at least with Zork and all the other text adventures, there was nothing. I mean, everything that came out of Infocom, which was a fabulous company, I mean, they had all kinds of great adventures that come out. They had Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, they had Planet Fall, they had all these games that were, like, just wonderful bits of storytelling, and you could wander through them. I mean, there was a game that came with a case file and fingerprint cards, and I can't remember, I think that one might have been Witness or Suspect or something like that, but I remember being, like, 8 or 9 playing the games after my uncle gave them to us, and it was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. They had little InvisiClues books, basically a book with blank answers next to, like, a question, like, how do I get into the house? Well, you had a little pen, and you could take your pen, and you rubbed it over the space, and all of a sudden the InvisiClues became visible. The only problem was you could only use the space once, and after about 3 hours or so, it would fade out, so it kind of got a little irritating. But, you know, they have, like, all this stuff online. It's great. I mean, you can actually play Zork online in some places, and I would strongly suggest that people even give it a shot, you know. But it's just something you have to see at least once. And there's a lot of pop culture stuff from different webcomics, like, especially user-friendly. They have a character who's afraid of the dark because he might get eaten by a Gru. So, I mean, this kind of stuff just doesn't exist in modern games. And, I mean, I'm a young guy. I'm only 26, so, I mean, when Zork came out, I was 1 year old. So, I mean, I got in on the tail end of the whole thing. I mean, I remember playing Zork when I was like 7 or 8, and I just started to read or something like that. And it was just such a, you know, it must have been like 8 years old, but it was like you were living in a novel. It was great. So, well, if you like games like that, and if you have, like, nostalgia about old games, there was a site that I was lamenting the disappearance of. It was called The Underdogs. So I went to theunderdogs.com or whatever the link was. I think it was www.the-underdogs.com. And for about 2 weeks. And I go there every couple months because that's how often the person who runs it updates it. And I actually left a Wikipedia article up in the show notes so you can go and see about it. And they have all of this stuff in there that's basically abandonware, which means if the company's no longer around or if hasn't been updated, nothing's been touched, or nobody claims ownership, then it's sort of free. You can download old games like Betrayal at Krondor, and I mean, it's just crazy stuff that you can't get nowadays. And they have little emulators for the text games so that you can play them online in Flash. You can play them pretty much anywhere. I mean, I had a version of Zork that ran on my Pocket PC. I mean, and they can live on a little floppy disk. They can live on a USB key. And on the next episode, I'm going to talk a lot about the more collaborative games that are out there, kind of like NetHack and a couple of the other ones. So, I mean, stay tuned in for that, because I'm probably going to end up talking for a while on that stuff. But, well, the underdogs, apparently, while I was doing the research for today's show, I got a very unexpected surprise. I did the Wikipedia search for it. I was like, all right, man, I need to find some kind of blurb about the underdogs to at least find out what happened to it. Because they had this special section called the B or HOBF, the Hall of Belated Fame. Basically, these are games that should have been bigger than they were because they were so awesome. They have a lot of the Dark Sun, Shattered Lands, you know, the Adventures of Dungeons and Dragons games in there and stuff like that. They'd never really sold a lot, but they were kind of ahead of their time with storytelling, graphics, whatever, what have you. But, so I did the Wikipedia search, and apparently the site lives on. It just got taken over by a cyber squatter because the person who, owns the domain name and everything actually, got taken over. So, I mean, the domain somehow got taken over. So, she registered the www.the-underdogs.info, I-N-F-O. I left a link up in the show notes. You should really, if you like older games and you might not like all the new ones with the crazy graphics and everything, and you have to have like a Twitch reflex to play, you definitely owe it to yourself to head on over to the site. And there's a link in the show notes. I found it at caffeination.com, and just check it out. I mean, it's a great idea, and I just love that they have this kind of stuff available, because there's a lot of older games that I have that, you know, I don't have a 5.5 disc drive anymore, 5.25 disc drive anymore, so I mean, I think I know one person who actually does. I was actually looking online, I was tempted to buy a Commodore 64 because it was only $9 and free shipping, and it turns out that the guy actually lives in Philadelphia, so I could probably even pick it up, but held off, you know. It would probably be a worthless purchase at this point. We live in an apartment. What am I going to do with a Commodore? But I had temporary notions of raising my soon-to-be child on the way I learned computers. You know, starting him out on like a Commodore, moving him up to like a 286, and making him learn DOS and stuff like that. Then I realized that would be completely useless and fanciful, and they were probably going to be like manipulating stuff with their mind by the time I'm long gone. So, yeah. I wanted to put the plea out one more time for, we're going to stop talking about that for right now, if you hadn't guessed that, but, I want to put the plea out one more, plea out one more time for, horror stories from the IT support industry. Now, I have a bunch of them, so I'm going to be sharing them in dribs and drabs, and, trying to keep as much identifiable information out of them as possible. I don't want anybody to get offended by this, because, I mean, everybody acts stupid at one point or another. The story that I want to tell you about today is, I work in a computer lab, so we routinely put signs on computers that are non-functioning, and students have a habit of writing on them, which irritates me, but, alright. That's neither here nor there, but seriously, this particular instance, what happened was, I was working on one computer, and directly next to me was a disabled computer with a sign on it. Very big text. It was an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper that said, we're very sorry, but this computer is out of our order. Please find another workstation. Simple. There was even a little clip art with a guy holding up a stop sign. I mean, black and white, simple, nothing fancy, nothing they shouldn't have seen. Two young gentlemen came over and took the sign, crumpled it up, looked at me, and I don't even think they knew who I was, which makes this all that much better. And they crumpled the sign up and threw it behind the machine. Then they tried to log in, and of course it's not working because the machine wasn't working. So, you know, they're logging in, it keeps saying, you know, invalid username and password. Actually, what it was there was a bad network cable, so they couldn't log in because it couldn't talk to the server. So I knew what I had to do, but I had to fix all the computers over there. So I waited, and each one of them tried it about 13 or 14 times. And this is about 20 minutes now, and I'm still working on the other computer. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at them, and then they finally glance over to me and go, "Hey, is this computer broken?" So I'm looking at them, and I don't know if you've ever heard of the comic Bill Engvall. He thinks that stupid people should have a sign that they're forced to wear to warn other people about them. And he has this, you know, he does this whole bit where people have to, and he's like, "And here's your sign, and here's your sign," after he gives them a smart comeback. So I looked at him, and without even thinking, I said to him, I was like, "No, it wasn't broken, it was just tired, I'm giving it a rest." And in my head I went, "Here's your sign." And I looked at him and said, "Now you want to do me a favor, and the sign that you crumpled up that was strapped to the front of the computer with three pieces of tape, could you uncrumple it, retape it to the front of the monitor, and find a different workstation?" They both looked at me and didn't even think anything of it. And went, "Oh, okay. So we can't log in, right?" "You're right. That's correct. Thank you for playing." Now, I have a bunch of stories like this, and not all of them are funny, and I know they aren't. And it was probably a lot funnier to actually be there and say it, but it's just like, I can't believe some people. And, but we're going to go into a little bit more next time. So I just wanted to kind of throw it out there. I mean, I've had some interesting stories already sent in to me. But I wanted to get out the Hall of Belated Fame and the whole Underlogs thing originally. So thanks for bearing with me now as we've been going on almost 30 minutes here. So I'm going to try and wrap this up a little bit quicker tonight because, like I said, I'm more than a little bit sore at this point. So I'd like to hand it over to Andy McCaskey from the Tech Podcast. Actually, he's from slash.review.com, and he has a wonderful voice for this, and he explains the whole contest a lot better than I do. So again, here's Andy from the slash.review podcast with an explanation of the U3 Developer Contest over at techpodcast.com.
Here's more information on how you could win $500, $250, or $100 in the Tech Podcast U3 Developers Contest. U3, as you know, enables USB drives, like the Geek Squad series from Best Buy, to contain applications, data, configurations, and passwords. The prizes will be awarded to TPN listeners who download the Developers Kit from U3 and port an application to the U3 environment. They'll be selected by a panel of judges from Tech Podcast Network and U3. Simply go to u3.com and register, then download the U3 deployment kit. That includes the SDK and other developer information. You'll receive a confirmation email from U3 and a username and developer company ID. Just cut and paste that into an email along with your contact information and email it to contest@techpodcast.com. That's it. You're officially entered in the contest and officially equipped with the tools that you need to port an application to the U3 environment. You can submit up to 3 entries, one per category, by email at any time prior to May 15th, 2006. Full details on the contest are available at techpodcast.com.
Well, thanks, Andy, for that explanation of the contest over there. He can do it so much better than I can. I mean, now don't you understand pretty much exactly what they're doing over there? And if I had tried, it just wouldn't have been the same, and we all know it. So it's all right. Yeah, it's okay. I'm all right with that. I feel that I can grow as a person if I can accept help from others. So that being said, just have 2 little bits of caffeinated news today. The first of which is, I don't know how many people out there actually drink coffee, because I've been getting a lot of feedback from people who say, "Oh yeah, I really like your show, but I don't drink coffee." I mean, so it's kind of fun to listen to and everything, but what about me? And so I was like, all right, man, I'm going to have to start finding some other stuff. But I'd already found what I wanted to talk a little bit about for today's show, so I'm not going to really change exactly what I'm going through here. But any of you out there who are avid coffee drinkers, and you know who you are. You can't wake up in the morning until you actually get that, there we go. All right, you can't wake up in the morning until you get that one really good cup of coffee, you know what I mean? Well, all right, so, all right, back down there, little Tonto. Okay. Yeah, like I said, still working out all the kinks over here, so please bear with me. All right, so now, like I was saying, you just can't seem to get your motor going. You're not thinking properly. I had an experience with that today. I was trying to do some programming for one of the people who I work with, and it just wasn't coming out. I had no idea where I found things, and I had done it before. And so, Fabrice, if you're listening, I'm very sorry about this morning. I just couldn't get it together. So after I made it back to my office, I opened up the fridge, and there was a little brand new canister of chock full of nuts coffee, which I recently found out, as I said to everybody, is fair trade certified, so go team. Alright, there's actually two rituals, but there's one ritual in particular which makes drinking coffee and the expectation that much better. It's when you first open that vacuum sealed package, and with a canister it's so much better because there's so much more smell that comes out. So I walked over to the trash can, and I know people were looking at me like I was nuts, but it was a bad morning. I mean, I just couldn't get stuff together, and everything was going crazy in work, so I was like, all right. So I popped open the top to this and just sat there 1 second as the air seeped in, and I went, oh, it's almost time for that first cup of coffee of the morning, and it's going to be so welcome at this point. So I took a deep smell of the coffee, and I went, oh yeah, this is going to be absolutely perfect. Because the first cup of coffee out of any container of coffee is always the best. I don't care what anybody else says, and there's ways of preserving the beans, and there's ways of grinding them, and it just, nothing beats that first cup of coffee when you first crack open that seal, that smell, that long sealed-in smell, because it's percolating for however long it was shipped. So I just wanted to share that with everybody, and I know everybody out there who drinks coffee knows exactly what I'm talking about when you really need that cup. And the other thing I wanted to say is that when you actually get that first cup, when you take the first sip, do you just sort of sit back and go, oh yeah, starting to feel like more like myself at this point. I gotta stop waiting so long in the day. I mean, I'm drinking less coffee overall, which is a positive, but I'm trying to enjoy it a little bit more, because I usually just pound it down. You know, I have a rather large mug in work, and I just slam it down and then go about my day, and before I realize it, you know, I don't remember what the coffee tasted like. So I know I'm just going to put something up on the screen that I have to do, that, you know, I have to read, have to review, and so I'm going to slowly sip the first cup of coffee today, in each morning, and see if that makes a little bit of a difference in my day. And this is to speak directly to those people who do not drink coffee yet listen to the show. Well, I'd like to thank you for sticking around and listening to crazed people such as myself prattle on about it. So, that's about it for the caffeinated bits today. And we have one more thing up from the PodSafe Music Network. And we're going to go a little bit different. Might throw one more Golden Gods song on the next show, just because they have a lot of great stuff up there. Usually if you have one band, you might have one real killer song and then a couple other ones. You can see they fell off a little bit. Now, all the songs from these guys seem to rock. So I love their music, and I'm going to throw it out there a couple more times. But alright, now we have a tongue twister of a name and a title here, so please bear with me if I screw this up immeasurably. But here from the band The Radical Thought Resistance, we have Methods of Modern Madness. Now, you might not think that's a tongue twister, but it can be, because, I mean, it takes somewhat of a while to get going, but... Alright. Here we have The Radical Thought Resistance and Methods of Modern Madness. See what I mean?
Truth twisted into tasted lies, abused, yet unaware you're victimized. Regressing to unconsciousness, settling for emptiness. Wander now the wilderness, searching for your soul.
So that was the, alright, like I said, please bear with us as we, really try and get things going here. Hi Chili Pepper, how are you doing? Alright, so, please bear with us as we try and, are you done yet? Yeah, I've noticed that the podcast's been running a little bit longer than I originally intended it to, because, since we've gone to the one-take-one-show kind of, methodology, had a little bit more screw-ups, and I've been a little bit freer talking, so if you like the longer show, please let us know. I'd also like to open up something. We have a mailing list of sorts. Basically, I send out the show notes for whatever show that we're producing, so you can click on all the links and everything. You don't actually have to go to the webpage to see it. So if you'd like to be on our mailing list, you can just drop me a line at caffeination@gmail.com. The only time you will get email from us is if there is a show coming out. That's it. So, other than that, you're never going to hear from me. I'm going to be like the... I don't know. Can't think of anything funny to say right there. So, yeah, we only have a couple more things to talk about, you know. So, should be another 3-4 hours on the podcast here, and then you all can go home. Alright, I'm done. Pretty much here. So, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. Hope you enjoyed yourself. If you are a long-time listener, thanks for sticking around and keeping us subscribed. So, you can find our podcast at www.caffeination.com. You can call our listener line at 206-202-2338. And as we said before, our email is caffeination@gmail.com. So we'd just like to ask everybody one more time to send us your ID10Ts, your 404s, your flashing 12s. Give us your LCDs, your tired pebcacks, and your larts. We'd like to hear all about the people who you support, or even the people you've heard about. And we're going to put them on the show. So our next show is going to be a little bit less caffeine. In fact, I don't think there's going to be any. We're going to be talking a whole bunch about the upcoming E3 conference, exactly what's going to be going on there, and get you all set to jet with that. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people. There we go. Stay caffeinated, everybody. We'll be right back.